Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jesse Newell watched as I carefully stood up. It took me the entire commercial break to stand up from the chair and put my leg up on this chair to where I could feel comfortable. And so I feel like I've accomplished quite a bit over the past couple of minutes. And we were also talking about, Nate, earlier I mentioned the interesting experience it was to watch practice indoors. And I didn't realize, so I talked about when that player ran into the overhead, you know, the garage door. So it cracked the glass. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean, so I think it's shatterproof glass, but thankfully, it was definitely, it was beat up pretty good and cracked and everything, and people going afterwards and kind of taking a look at it. So, yeah, it was not good shape afterwards after, a receiver hit it.
And I do have a special report. Nate, I told you about the football that was thrown our way, the fastball from Patrick Mahomes. Not intentional, but you get a better perspective of his arm strength when you see it. I did not realize. I thought it hit the ground. It actually, according to Jesse Newell here reporting good news source of news. This is not good news.
Yeah.
But the ball actually caromed off Adam Teicher's leg, right? So he was the recipient of that.
Yeah, my reporting might include a photo of Adam Teicher's lower leg today, because yesterday it would already look like a mushroom was forming, and today it might be blue or purple. So I was next to Adam, full disclosure, and kind of jumped.
Yeah.
But Adam took the brunt of it. You know, he was the vet. He decided to step in there and do this, take one for the team. So just like we'll see how you walk out there today, Stephen, we'll see how Adam walks as well.
So would you like us to take – we'll see if Adam will let us – do you want us to take a picture of his leg?
Yes.
Plus, by the way, out of fastball scales for Patrick Mahomes, I mean, this was thrown hard, but I think he could throw it harder.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was probably an 8, 8.5 on his 1-10 scale. So,
yeah.
This wasn't even like, this is the hardest I can throw it. This was like, I'm going to try to get it there.
No, you must pay attention, because like Jesse said, he was right there. And I was telling him, I'm not moving real quick right now, because I was nervous that I was not going to be able to get out of the way or whatever, because there's players flying around and everything else. I mean, that was a different experience watching that up close yesterday, wasn't it?
And glass windows behind you. So
yeah.
That makes you pay attention, too.
That's right. All right. Based on all the things we talked about with the rookies, I'm up here. Nate, you're not. I will give you the opportunity to ask some questions of Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star before we head over to practice today.
Okay, I have a couple questions when it comes to these rookies. And one of them is one of the names that you brought up and we've heard other people bring up this week as well is Joshua Williams. And you mentioned that he got replaced by Jalen Watson with the ones, which I find interesting. I listen to I'm a pretty religious listener to the Move the Sticks podcast with Daniel Jeremiah. I think he does a great job, and he brought up Josh Williams on that podcast on his own, just like as a sleeper to keep an eye on, which means he's hearing that from other people around the league as well. Do you think the Jalen Watson thing being put in there, do you think they're just kind of trying to rotate these young guys to get a look at them at this point in time? I know I'm asking you to do a little supposition there by asking you that question, but do you get a sense as to the rhyme or reason to why they're rotating those guys with the ones right now?
No, and I mean, again, you take it for what it's worth. Sometimes there's just rotation days. For example, there was one day where Andy Reid had talked about how he wanted to rotate his tackles, and one day Roderick Johnson, before Orlando Brown had come to camp, he was at left tackle, left tackle, left tackle, and then just went to right tackle, and they basically flipped everybody just to kind of give them a look. So sometimes that happens. This one from 2 days ago, it seemed more intentional to me that they did flip those guys. And sometimes with this stuff, it can be pretty accurate. I wasn't here with Chiefs camp last year, but some of the stories from last year with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, you know, from the very beginning, they were placed in their spots, and they basically didn't lose those first team spots. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how this kind of plays out from here on out. But again, the fact that a seventh round pick is stepping up in there and part of a nickel package and being in there. Again, we also have to remember Rashad Fenton's not here yet, and he's still injured, and we'll see if he makes it back for the start of the regular season. I think the Chiefs are optimistic about that, but we'll have to wait and see. But the fact that those two guys have gotten first team reps at nickel this quickly, this fast, and have impressed at certain times, I think that's positive news for the Chiefs.
Okay, so the other thing I wanted to ask you about is you were rattling off all of these rookies and you were talking about the youth on defense, and I like youth in the NFL. I think that usually means that you got a little more athleticism, you got a little more energy, all those things, but you can make mistakes as well. And Steven played some comments from Willie Gay Jr. Earlier today talking about his struggles to pick up the defense as a rookie. And we know that Spags is, you know, got a complicated style of defense that's harder for guys to pick up. How much is he going to have to change or scale down that defense to cater to this many young players playing at the same time if he's going to have to rely on them?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's something Sam McDowell, I know, has written about quite extensively and actually asked Spags about extensively, even to the point where I think Spags the second time was not as willing to answer it or go through it. But, you know, this right now is install period, so you're putting everything in. You're wanting everybody to get a piece of what you might need for the regular season, and then once the game weeks start, then you scale back and you pick the particular piece of the defense you need and install it or reinstall it for that week. So he's going to throw the whole thing at him right now. I think your point is well taken that, you know, this is something to watch because Spags hasn't always been the guy that has relied on rookies or felt comfortable putting those guys out there. But this is just going to have to be an exception, it seems like, especially with the top two guys. I mean, George Karloftis is going to have to play, and Trent McDuffie is going to have to play, and we'll see how the rest of those guys fit in. But I think it is a positive sign when you hear from people, like I talked about earlier, you know, Brett Veach talking about the intelligence of a Brian Cook, the second-round pick, and that they've been kind of even more impressed by that aspect of it than they thought. And from Andy Reid, he's talked about Joshua Williams, how he learns so quickly. You know, he might make a mistake, but he's taking everything in, and it seems to be very much in line with, hey, he's not going to make that same mistake twice. And even some of these routes you've seen on videos, I'm sure out there floating on the internet, where Joshua Williams gets beat, but he has some recovery speed and definitely recovery length. So I think that's a positive for now. Again, we'll see how these guys play out, but it's a question going into the season. It'll be a question during the season, I'm sure, that Spags will be faced with throughout. But as of right now, I mean, this is sort of the direction the Chiefs have headed. They're going to have to play a lot of these guys because they invested in them. They had a couple of them as first-round picks, and they're going to need to step in right away because the other options aren't there.
So do we expect to see Carlos Dunlap at practice today?
That's the indication so far. That's what's supposed to happen. Andy Reid was talking about it yesterday, and it's kind of one of those wait and see sort of things. But all indications are that could happen today. And so if it does, most likely we'll be able to talk to him pretty soon. And the Chiefs will be about as complete as we could ask them to be at this point in the season, getting ready for not only week one against Arizona, but some of these preseason games coming up.
You know, Frank Clark had a lot to say on Saturday. And I know that there's plenty of people that roll their eyes when the guys say, hey, I'm in the best shape I've been in. I'm 12 pounds lighter. But he had some real reasons, talking about, you know, not drinking alcohol, cutting red meat out of his diet, you know, understanding that looking at the film, he thought he looked sloppy and not in great shape last year. He said that he had that meeting with Andy Reid where Andy suggested that, you know, he could have been better. I think a lot of Chiefs fans have given up hope that Frank Clark can be a real factor on this defense. Do you think he's got another good year left in him with the Chiefs?
Well, it's a really tough one because I agree with you, Steven. I mean, I think most of what we want from people in life is to be accountable.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just to own up to what you did and try to be better moving forward. And again, right now, all we can do is take Frank Clark for his word. And he's right, though. I mean, there were some plays in the Buffalo game where he was huffing and puffing, couldn't chase down Josh Allen. I mean, it looked really bad out there. And if you take it from a big picture view, was part of the reason the Chiefs couldn't succeed and win a Super Bowl. So, I mean, that I get it if you're a fan. I get it. He was paid a lot of money to come here and help out that pass rush, and he wasn't good enough for them last year. At the same time, I mean, when you see him in person or you see him on these videos, his body has changed. So he did make an effort to do that. So I think you can sort of be both sides here, right? I mean, you can look at Frank Clark and say, look, this guy was part of the reason they couldn't advance last year with a great opportunity to hold up another Lombardi trophy. And at the same time, look at him this year and say, the guy owned up to it. He said he wasn't good enough. He made major changes that I'm going to assume here, Stephen, but both me and you are not making right now.
Right.
I have not given up red meat or alcohol here coming into training camp. So the fact that he has done both of those things and, again, looks trimmer, looks like he's in better shape, you have to give him credit for that. The proof's going to be in the pudding. Can he go out there and produce? I think that still remains, and that remains a question. And if fans want to be skeptical of that, I don't blame them at all. But, again, what we heard from him is what you want to hear from him after a disappointing season.
I think that the staff at the Frederick Inn can confirm that I have not given up red meat after the delicious sirloin I had a couple of nights ago. And, hey, I'm not trying to make Nate feel bad, but Nate always, you know, he brags about all the food he eats at Sporting and how they cater to all of his needs. He's like Lord Fauntleroy. They bring him, you know, all the treats that he wants.
The finest meats and cheeses.
Yeah, it's exactly right. He's eaten Hawaiian Brothers before the games and things. So the media lunches they provided us, to me, they've been taken to the next level. Even though, and I don't mind calling him out on the air, nothing can please Sam McDowell, apparently. Nothing pleases this young man. He has something to say about everything. We're all excited because we had short ribs yesterday.
I mean, it was... listen, shout out to Pam, runs the whole operation at Missouri Western. I mean, that was excellent. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and the day before, they had a Cajun chicken with... like some shrimp jambalaya. I mean, it's been terrific. It's to the point where at the end of practice, you're excited, number one, because practice is over, and you're like, what are they going to have today in the media room? Although Sam McDowell's is very, you know, he just doesn't, nothing satisfies him, right? You know, if they're short rib, then he wants chicken. If there's chicken, then he wants seafood. So whatever, he wants what he doesn't have, right? So, and then Herbie has him on speed dial and calls and like, you know, hey, can we get some more coffee up here? It's a whole system, right? But this has been wonderful lunches all week long. We're working hard. We're out there, you know, we're sweating. We're running the Oklahoma drill, all this stuff. And so but I just wanted to give a shout out to, like you said, Pam and the staff over there. They've been treating us wonderfully. And if you come up here at all, Nate, you'll be treated to a wonderful lunch, right, Jesse?
Absolutely.
See? You want to come up here now, don't you?
I mean, I want some short ribs.
Oh, man. Let me tell you. I was like, what's going on here? It was fantastic.
This is not doing well for my waistline, but right. It's doing very well for my lunches.
It's doing well for your byline, though, right? See?
That's exactly right.
Need that fuel.
Bucati of Bucati Companies just texted me a hell of a question that I don't even know how I would answer yet. He said, if you had to give up one, red meat or alcohol, what would it be? I think I'd give up alcohol.
I'm not giving up red meat.
And that's three for three here. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I've pretty much given alcohol up for the most part. I haven't had any up here or anything, but red meat's not going anywhere.
I'm not giving up my Green Grass Cattle Company, I'll tell you that much.
That's exactly. You know, I just have to have a steak every once in a while and just sit there and smile. So, Jesse, we're going to head over to camp now. We appreciate you coming on the show. And any final comments for Nate Bucati back there? I know that you wish he was up here, don't you?
No, he's got my cell phone, so if you need any good takes, then ask me first.
Yeah, I'll some comps you. By you.
Yeah, just let him know. Hey, Jesse.
By the way, you just got a window into like every conversation my wife has with me when we're like, you know, cooking dinner or anything. We remember when I told you about this yesterday, right? Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to talk about that you're working on that we can read and look for?
No, just all our camp coverage coming up. We'll have some section stories coming out here in a couple weeks, a special section on the Chiefs where you get a little more insight from Patrick Mahomes and Brett Veach. But until then, just keep along with the Chiefs coverage. We got a bunch of star people out here and eating the good food and, you know, taking part in training camp.
That's exactly right. We'll cover training camp like a blanket for you. That's Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. We'll be back after this on WHB. Hit it! Yes! 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 Yes!
to get down. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone.
Anyone that's in my age demographic knows every single word of this song, Marco. MC Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock.
Was this on the top 40 station all the time?
There wasn't really, rap music wasn't really played on the radio back then. I see the look on your face. But
even
just,
even like this type, like
no, it wasn't. At this point in time, rap music was considered a fad that was going to be gone within a decade, the way like disco music was. I used to have heated conversations with classmates in at St. Peter's Cathedral and Bishop Ward High School about whether or not rap music was here to stay. I think time has proven me correct. It's still here, right? It's still a thing.
As far as I know, it's on even more than just one or two
stations. It's like more mainstream. Now like Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre perform at the Super Bowl, right?
That's right.
Back in the day, you couldn't find it on the radio. The only way I could watch it was Yo MTV Raps.
Is that what MTV used to be called?
It was a television show. No, it was a show on MTV called Yo MTV Raps, hosted by Dr. Dre and Ed Lover, a different Dr. Dre. And that was the only way. And then I would just watch that show, and then I would go to the Indian Spring Shopping Mall in Kansas City, Kansas, to the Music Land, and buy the cassette tapes, and then it's eventually CDs of whatever rap artists I saw in that show. And that was how you learned rap music back then. At least that's how I did. Now it's all over the radio.
It blows my mind that there was even a debate. Like, it was put in the same, it was expected to go away, like disco music.
Yeah. It was a fad. It was like, this isn't real music, you know. This is a fad. But it'll run its course.
Now, were these the same people that said that had the same opinion of like, there's nowhere in this world for rap music. It's not like that's why they had to put the parental advisory stickers on there. Like,
well, that was definitely part of the reason that it didn't get any radio play at the time, was because it was considered dangerous or whatever. The lyrics were too risque and things like that.
It's like how video games are these days.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's but yeah, that song, man, everybody, any high school mixer, that song was playing and everybody knew it somehow. And there was nothing wrong with that song whatsoever. Wonderful song. Thank you for playing it. Hey, welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Jesse Newell are on their way to training camp. We're going to play some Andy Reid in a second. I do want to remind everybody of a great thing we've got going on in terms of raising money for Children's Mercy Hospital. You should know by now what a wonderful place Children's Mercy is and how important it is for every family in our region to have access to the wonderful care there, regardless of their ability to pay. And so we are doing a fundraiser for Children's Mercy. And Sporting Kansas City is a great partner with Children's Mercy. And you might know that I work for both Sports Radio 810 and Sporting Kansas City. So this is right in my wheelhouse. And we teamed up to come up with some great prizes that we thought you could win if you decide to make a small, very small donation to Children's Mercy Hospital. If you go to 810 WHB, you can see the list of all the different prizes you can win. It's basically like an online raffle. You donate $25, you get one raffle ticket. So if you donate $250, you get 10 raffle tickets. And these are some experience-based prizes you could win that are one of a kind and that you couldn't buy out on the street. One of them, a Sporting KC VIP training experience. We heard Steven talk about how incredible it was to get to stand right next to the field yesterday and watch the Chiefs go through practice and how fast that ball is really coming when Patrick Mahomes throws it. And seeing the speed with which Travis Kelce at his size moves around on the field. I'll tell you, if you are any sort of soccer fan whatsoever, or even if you're a casual observer of it, and you watch the game from up high, and it looks to you like there's 22 guys just kind of jogging around, it just kind of looks like they're just jogging, you go to a training session, and you stand there next to the field, and you will get a completely different perspective on how physical the game is. Honestly, you'd think to yourself, I might break my leg 17 different times if I tried to go through that training session with those guys, the way they compete and get after it. The fitness level, the speed, the power that these guys play the game with, but also like the mental intensity of what they're doing, because these guys are making thousands and thousands of snap decisions with what they're going to do with the ball at all times while people are trying to take it from them and moving at rapid paces. It's really, really impressive stuff. So you can come to a training session and see Peter Vermees yelling at the guys yelling at each other, getting into it, you know, because they're turned up at practice, and I'll kind of talk you through what they're doing. You get to go to practice with me, and then you get to meet a coach and a player after practice, take pictures with them, all that stuff. Pretty incredible. That's just one of the many prizes that you can win. If you just go to 810WHB.com and click on that link where it says Blue Mondays Benefiting Children's Mercy, it's one of the first things you'll see there. You can scroll through and see all the different prizes that you can win. So the biggest thing, though, is that when you make that donation, it's all going to Children's Mercy Hospital. All of the money is going to Children's Mercy. So again, I encourage you to do that. We'll be doing the raffle here next week, so get on it as soon as you can, 810WHB.com. All right, let's hear from Andy Reid. my brilliant comp of Pacheco to Nile Davis, I hope, first of all, is wrong. Hopefully he lives up to more than that, because I always felt like Nile Davis was, boy, we get excited about 40 times. And I actually, I'm quoting this podcast a lot. I like the podcast. Daniel Jeremiah, I think, does a really good job on it. And he used this metaphor the other day that I really liked. He talked about you can measure straight line speed, but if you did that, you would have never, Barry Sanders would have never been considered one of the greatest running backs in the NFL, right? His size and 40 time were nowhere near what Isaiah Pacheco's is, but he, by some measures, by some people's opinion, was the greatest running back to ever live. And he was at least certainly one of them, right? So it's not always about how fast you can run 40 yards in a straight line. The analogy that I heard Daniel Jeremiah use about some players is, and I think this was like a perfect one, for example, to use about Tyreek Hill. He had the amazing straight line speed, but it was also that shiftiness in a small space to avoid getting hit and avoid getting tackled. And the way he called it was like, it's like when you're a kid playing at recess and you play freeze tag. He's one of those guys that's never frozen because nobody can tag him. It, you know, it doesn't matter how close you are to him. You think you got him, and then he can jump backwards. He can jump sideways. He can move in all these different quick twitch ways that you just can't get your hands on him. And I think that's more important for a running back than straight line speed is. But there's also a little bit of nuance there. Here's a name drop for you one time for you, Marco. One of the all-time great running backs at University of Kansas and in the NFL, John Riggins. I had a chance to talk with him one time, and he was considered one of those big, powerful running backs. He wasn't one of those guys that avoided getting hit all the time, but yet he had good durability, and he stayed pretty healthy. And I had a chance to talk with him when I was doing the sidelines for KU football years and years ago, and there was a long lightning delay, and so we were looking to kill time, and somebody came to me and said, hey, John Riggins is here if you want to talk with him. And I ended up getting to just sit and chat with him on the air for like a half an hour. And we talked about all this stuff, and I asked him about the punishment that he took in his career and how he was holding up. And he was like, you know what, I'm actually doing pretty well, because to me, everybody always talks about how you have to avoid getting hit. I wasn't shifty enough to completely avoid getting hit, but what I was shifty enough to do was to change the angle on the hit so nobody ever got a clean shot at me. You know, some guys want to put their head down and smash into somebody and then run them over, right? That was kind of Christian Okoye, big, strong, fast guy, and he would just battering ram his way through people. Christian Okoye has, I believe, 5 of his vertebrae fused together in his neck. You know, I mean, he's paid the price for that kind of running style. Earl Campbell, you know, was a guy that paid, you see the health issues he had later in his life, that paid the price for it. And John Riggins said that the key for me was always, if I see a guy come, he's going to hit me. If right before the moment of impact, I shift just to the right or the left enough, it becomes a glancing blow, and I can bounce right off him and keep going, and I don't feel the impact of it, as opposed to if I run right over him. And so for me, that becomes a massive question for a guy like Isaiah Pacheco. And does he have that amount of shiftiness where he can then use his size-speed combo to still become an explosive runner? And I don't think you can see. My guess is, look, I'm not going to sit here and act like I know more than the evaluators with the Chiefs, like Andy Reid, but or Eric Bieniemy. But my guess is they won't really know that till they see him play in pads in the system, where it's full to the ground contact and the other team's trying to tackle you. There's also the vision component of seeing where the hole is and then exploding through the hole immediately. We talked about Jamaal Charles earlier. That was the thing that made him such a remarkable running back, and one of the reasons that I actually do think there's a difference in running backs. Because when you put Jamaal, now he was a special case. He, you know, Hall of Fame caliber type running, but you looked at his like yards per carry behind unspectacular offensive lines, and then you put on the running backs in there, and their yards per carry was minimal compared to his. And the reason was the hole didn't have to be open that long for him. He got through the thing so fast, they didn't have to open as big of a hole, and it didn't have to be open as long. And boom, he was going through it. How quickly does Isaiah Pacheco accelerate through that hole? Does he see the hole when it's there? And then does he have the shiftiness? Those are the things that you can't tell by the size and 40 time. You can't tell that till he gets out there and runs in a game.
There are going to be holes for him to explode through?
I would sure think so, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, because I just remember last year early on with when people were barking for Jerick McKinnon to start getting more reps, they were noticing on film that Clyde Edwards-Helaire wasn't taking advantage of those open holes that Thuney, Humphrey, and Smith were creating for him. And you can go back to the first 5 weeks of the season and see where those missed opportunities were. So That's what I'm really excited with Pacheco. When we hear about the explosiveness, is those chances are being created by this interior line for Kansas City, and I think that's one piece that they're missing from that running back room, with somebody with the comp to the shiftiness of Jamaal or Niles Davis, somebody who can break through with just one step.
Yeah.
Get started.
And again, 40 time doesn't necessarily tell you whether you can do that, but it might be an indicator of the ability to have an explosive play once you get through the line. And that was something that also was missing from Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year, the explosive plays in the running game. You just didn't see him very often. Here's Andy Reid. Let's play him talking about Isaiah Pacheco and having a little juice.
Yeah, he's got a little juice to him. Yeah, no, he's got good speed, toughness, all that. Look forward to getting him in a game and see how he does there. He's working hard on picking everything up and doing a nice job there.
So there you hear it right there. Looking forward to getting him in a game and seeing how he can handle it. And I think that's where I am more interested in watching this preseason than I have been in some time for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Is he the player that you're looking forward to most watching next Saturday? Next Saturday.
A week from Saturday,
preseason football.
We got game tonight, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know who all is going to play tonight in this Raiders Jags game, but I'm getting kind of fired up for it. Pacheco might be moving up that list, but it's hard. I mean, look, it's almost like we're not talking about McDuffie and Karloftis and Sky Moore as much, because you have expectations. At least I do. They need to play. Like, those were high picks. Those were guys that were high picks at positions of need, where you thought, yeah, they got to get somebody in this draft that can play right away. And so I feel like it's not newsworthy as much that, hey, Sky Moore's looking good in camp. It's not newsworthy as much if McDuffie's running with the ones. Well, yeah, he better. You know, and that's not fair to those guys, by the way, because they're rookies. Even if they're number one pick, they're still rookies. But yeah, with Pacheco, it's like, wait, there's a seventh round pick that's running with the ones sometimes? at running back, which we thought was already a position of depth. This wasn't a position where I thought, well, they got to get a running back in this draft or they're in real trouble. If they hadn't gotten any running backs in this draft, I would have thought, oh, they're fine. I mean, a running back's fine. It's kind of interchangeable with the Andy Reid system anyways. They all got guys that are veterans. Ronald Jones was added to the mix. You know, that. So, yeah, that is newsworthy to me. So it's kind of shot up my, in terms of, like, my attention span. And then the other one is Josh Williams. Now, it's interesting to hear Jesse Newell say that now Jalen Watson, you know, was rotating in with the ones too, so maybe I should watch him too. But I look at the track record that Brett Veach has had with getting, what do you call them, you know, undervalued yep. assets of, you know, guys that were mid-round picks. L'Jarius Sneed being, you know, a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
Charvarius Ward,
yeah.
you know, those guys that they've been able to get who have become very good, solid NFL corners that fit this type, this mold that they like to have, you know, good, the certain type of length and speed and everything. And so
you can spread them out. They're not just you can put them anywhere on the defense of the secondary almost.
Yeah. And I just, so when I hear this many people talking about Joshua Williams, and then when I hear Daniel Jeremiah saying, you know, Daniel Jeremiah comes from the scouting background, so those guys all talk. You know, they're a community just like anybody else, and so they're asking other guys, like, hey, who are you hearing about in other camps? And so he brought that up on his own, and that. So I'm very excited to see him too. But I'm excited to see all of them because, I mean, honestly, like, the whether or not this team goes back to the Super Bowl this year, to me, is going to be largely dependent. The big question marks, all these young guys on defense, how good can they get and how quickly, right? What are they capable of? And then on offense, does this wide receiver core still do what, you know, what it was capable of the last couple of years now that Tyreek Hill is gone? And I think the answer, I'm very optimistic about the wide receiver group. Very optimistic. But you still got to see it. Like, it's not something we have seen yet. We haven't seen Patrick Mahomes in a live game throw passes to hardly any of these guys outside of Mecole Hardman and Travis Kelce. So I want to see that. But, yeah, I want to see all these young guys on defense. So, and then there's, like, these position battles that – you feel like are starting. I mean, this running back position battle seems really intriguing
mm-hmm.
right now, doesn't it? And then the defensive back rotation, that looks very intriguing to me. So I just feel like there's so many guys we just haven't seen yet with this team that makes you want to watch preseason. You know, and I realize vanilla offensive game plans, all those things, it's not going to tell you everything, but you get to see more in a preseason game when it's real, especially in some of these positions we're talking about where it's mm-hmm. full contact, than you do by watching them in training camp.
I think you make an excellent point there. This is like the first time since Mahomes has been quarterback where they're coming in with such a new roster, not only in the starting side, but who's going to fill out the rest of the depth chart. Because I don't know, you go back through other previous preseason years, it's like, all right, we'll see Neiman at the quarterback. Sorensen's going to get some reps. Armani Watts is going to play. He's no longer with the Chiefs, obviously, now. There was no really rookies to get excited about. It was more so free agent signings.
Or if there was, it was like one or two.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, think about all the guys that Jesse – I mean, they list – Steven and Jesse listed like – you know, 10 guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that does make it intriguing there. And now that as I sit here and think about it, you're going into last year, it was the offensive line that was completely revamped. Like, they tore that thing down and rebuilt it practically. This time around, that's kind of how it feels about the wide receiving core. You could still keep Travis, if you want to keep Travis Kelce in the mix, you can say that it's not as rebuilt, but he's a tight end. So let's just go with the wide receiving core. It's Mecole Hardman, and then it's a rebuilt group. And I think we saw there were growing pains with the offensive line last year, early on in the season. But then as they got going, a lot to be excited about on that offensive line, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And so, like, if it works out the same way with the wide receiving core this year, that could be fantastic. But it could mean that, that early on, and with the defense as well, with all these young guys, early on there could be some struggles, you know, and it could be some frustration. But that's something we should remember now, you know, say it now, because it's easy to say when you're not looking at a 2-3 record or something like that. And when you're looking at a 2-3 record, it feels like the entire sky is falling. And in this division, oh my gosh, we're going to be in all this trouble. And I don't know, maybe they'll get out to a 4-1 start and we won't even have to talk about it. But I do think it's kind of important to think about it now, because if we're a month into the season and the team's struggling a little bit, we're all probably going to overreact. You know?
Saw it last year.
Yeah, we saw it last year. I mean, people say, oh, this team's not even going to make the playoffs. You know, they got all kinds of problems. Remember that? There was all sorts of disharmony in the locker room, all these other things that we talked about. And then the next thing you know, they're cruising to the playoffs and another division title. So something we should probably keep in mind. Let's go ahead and take a break. Back after this, we'll hear some more from Andy Reid on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sharp Rock jumps upon the scene with a lean and a pocket full of green. The green doesn't symbolize I made it on the top, but RoboCop last year was a shock. The tone of the Popeye cut shook your butt. Kids are screaming, the media says what? Kind of music is this for you to dance to? The man with the plan and the band demands you. Leave the smack and the crack for the whack, for the ball and the knock, keep a smile like that. Leave the knife and the gun in the store and ignore temptation sent by the nation. Racial game causes pain, needs a new rep. In your hearts and mind, never forget you set. Hawkins, and when you're walking, you know just one. Black on black, remember that, it's important.
Okay, anyway, we're going to have Jeff Chedia on the phone in the next hour as we continue to talk Chiefs. By the way, I did. You can sound the soccer alarm if you want to, Marco. But somebody tweeted at me and said, "Hey, English Premier League starts tomorrow. No mention of that. How about a segment on the show?"
Saturday mornings are about to get a whole lot better.
Oh yeah. How about a weekly EPL segment? Handle Your Rama tweets at me. I'd be all for that. I don't think the audience, I don't think the market research shows that we can support that. But I'm fired up. Arsenal versus Crystal Palace tomorrow at 2:00. I'm planning to go to the Arsenal sports bar, the Johnny's downtown, to watch that, which should be kind of fun, you know.
So that is the acclaimed Arsenal watch part, like, go,
yeah,
if you're an Arsenal
yeah,
fan,
the,
you go to
the
Johnny's.
KC Gooners, they call it. You're talking to a founding member of the KC Gooners right here.
Oh, gosh.
I'm a nerd. God, I'm such a nerd. Oh.
How are they going to be this year? Are they going to be disappointed?
I think I'm looking top four.
Okay.
I'm thinking top four. Yeah, I know. I think maybe the youngest, most exciting team in the league in terms of, like, upward mobility, but they're not going to be able to catch Manchester City because that's just a juggernaut right now. But I'm just looking top four. Just trying to get back into the top four, baby. Get back into the Champions League. That's all we want. Hey, Ken, I'm going to throw a curveball at you, Marco, because we're doing all these comps and everything. Willie Gay Jr. was asked to make a comp about Isaiah Pacheco, so that'd be Willie Gay number 10, because I haven't heard this yet. So I'm kind of curious. If he says Nile Davis, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to go crazy because he wasn't college teammates with him. Willie was asked which former college teammate Isaiah Pacheco reminds him of.
Well, first off, TN man, Pacheco, he reminds me of my running back in college, Colin Hill. He just got so much juice when he runs, man. I feel like he's a great addition to the room. And Clyde, you know, Jet, Rojo, all the guys over there, you know, I hope I ain't missing anyone. But, it's just a great room, a room full of skilled backs that can spread you out in a pass game and run it up inside if they need to. So it's a great room.
Juice. That's the word that keeps getting thrown out there with Isaiah Pacheco. Juice. Hopefully we'll get to see that as camp continues. We're going to talk more NFL with Jeff Chedia right around the corner on Sports Radio 810 WHB.